Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn, blessed are we in the morning, blessed are we in the light of the day, as we enjoy the earth turning. Blessed are we as the twilight descends and the magic of dusk is upon us, and blessed are we in the dark of the night as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed are we in the awakening dawn, blessed are we in the morning, blessed
Alright everyone, and welcome to another episode of Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess Susan Weed. I'm Daniel Michael, and for now I'll plug the shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. I believe there are seven of them, starting with this one, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time with Susan Weed, Green Magic, Green Medicine. Susan is a master herbalist and a teacher, lecturer, educator, the Wise Woman Center. Her website is linked here on this page, so check her out. It's a jam-packed half hour every Tuesday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, myself and associate producer Janice R. White with the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe. We have been on the air with that show now for 3 years. I've never missed a week. So check us out, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I think tomorrow we'll finally have our episode where we talk about time travel. Soon we have a guest coming on Main Street Universe on the Wednesday show from a group called OAR, June 25th, and he'll be talking about what happens to you or what happens to someone after they get released from prison. You know, a lot of times you go in and your life is in a shambles or you weren't working, so you lost your apartment, all these things. There's a group called OAR, and he'll be joining me in person, Brandon Cosby, and I'm sure it'll be an interesting interview, opportunities, alternatives, and resources, OAR. And then on Thursdays, we have Queen Mother Imaku with her show, Rebel Wise Woman Radio. And Queen Mother's new show is now a big two-hour show that starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So check it out. She has all different sorts of guest topics. She practices Kemetic yoga, does original language prayers for the Kemetic tradition, and all sorts of things, social activism, etc. Check it out, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Queen Mother Imaku, and then check out on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, my good friend Mr. Kevin Baird with his show, Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is the creator, the artist who founded the Horizon Oracle cards. And his show is now at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. He can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And then Fridays at midnight, it's Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with our hostess, Miss Jessie Ann Nichols-George. And Jessie is the author of 4 books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook, as well as You, Me, Life, Dreams and its companion workbook. So join in at midnight. The new book is all about relationships and the different energies of masculine and feminine that each person has. I think it's a great progression from men are from Mars, women are from Venus, where it's just discussing the different levels of masculine and feminine energy that we all have and its inner relationship with each other. So check it out, 12 midnight. Then at Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, is Darren Boucare. Darren is a reader at Marie Lovo's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. He does palmistry and tarot and other things. And his show is called Spiritual Insight. So tune in and call in for a reading. And all of it, that is free, of course. And then Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Randy Goldberg with his show Science of Light. He's a Vedic astrologer as well as a Western astrologer, discussing all matters of metaphysical things and Jungian archetypes, etc., etc. Tune in, Randy Goldberg, Science of Light. And that so far, thus far, makes up the shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network, with a few more on the way, including the World Reggae Party and Reflections and Rhythms with Goddess Janice. And I see Susan is in the queue. I'll turn on the mic. Welcome, Susan.
Green blessings. What an exciting radio station you're running. Thanks for letting us know about all the wonderful people we can tune into.
Oh, absolutely. And there's all sorts of things we're working on, and some people will bring on just to do like once-a-month shows and things like that, some rotating hosts and things like that. So we're working on filling up the time we're allotted or given to us, I guess.
Indeed. Are the roses blooming where you are?
Yes. But the plant that we have here, we have one of those ones that gives off, my brother's wife grows actually quite a lovely garden around the house here with lots of food. She likes almost everything she plants, she likes to eat. So there's a lot of food growing out there. And the rose plant that came with the house, it's one of those ones that they're really big, big rose, you know, bulbs. And sometimes I think it's been having some problems, but yeah, it's been blossoming.
Right. Because the roses are certainly blooming here.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, one of the weeds of our area is wild rose.
Oh.
I know, this is very difficult for people to comprehend. It's like, excuse me, you're saying what? You're saying rose bushes are weeds where you live? Well, this is a multi-flora rose. And these roses are some of the most vigorous, vining, climbing roses that anybody has ever seen. And they marched right out of gardens and into the landscape. And there's not much that will take them on. They fight back viciously if you try to go out there with pruning shears. And I've seen the wild roses here, oh, easily climbing up 15, 20 feet.
Mm.
And they can get 10 to 15 feet across. So you can see how a couple of hundred of those in a field would pretty much take it over. Now, fortunately, my goats do love the wild roses, and they do prune them back where they can get to them. And they're on to something, because rose is actually a wonderful food and wonderful medicine. You can convince, is this your sister, your sister-in-law, who grows the great garden, rose petals in her salad?
She does regularly add flowers of different types to her salad, in fact.
So she eats roses already?
Yeah, and she eats, what's the other one called, asturgeons, those little orange ones or whatever? I think that's the one.
Nasturtiums? Yes, nasturtiums are wonderful. Yes, nasturtiums, nice and peppery. Ooh, they're so good. I love nasturtiums.
Yeah.
Yes. And when we think about the rose, we, of course, almost immediately think about rose flowers, and that's why we're talking about them tonight, because the roses are blooming everywhere. As a matter of fact, there's so many wild roses blooming today where I live that the air smells like roses.
Wow.
Like you open your door and you're like hit in the face with the scent of roses. There's
nice.
So many wild roses blooming. It's really, really amazing. And so we know about, roses and how beautiful roses are. And, wow, you can eat rose petals. That's great. But you can do a lot of other things with them, too. Suppose you don't eat salad or you don't want to put your rose petals in your salad. Put them in some milk. Just take a cup of milk and put a big, fat handful of rose petals in the milk. And then gently bring the milk up. You don't want to boil it, but get it pretty hot. And turn off the fire. And you want to drink it warm? pour into a cup, put a little honey in it, and away you go. You want to just let it sit there and drink it cold, that's fine too. Now, in India, in the Ayurvedic tradition, rose petals are considered to be an herb of longevity. And so another thing that you can do with the rose petals is put them in a jar and really pack the rose petals into that jar and then pour honey over the whole mess of rose petals. You'll need like a chopstick or something to kind of, you know, move it around and stir it up so the honey gets down in there. And then you just put a lid on it. And anytime you want, after a couple of weeks, you can start using your rose petal honey. You can put a teaspoonful in a cup of hot water and have rose petal tea. Or you can spread it on bread. And I was told, oh, maybe 30 years ago, when a friend of mine came back from India, and she brought rose petal honey, and she said, I got this from the guru who said that this is all that the guru eats. All this is the entire nourishment that this guru took was these, and it was a jar of like the rose petals must have been like almost black red, and some dark honey was used, and the scent of roses and the scent of the honey that came up out of this jar. I was almost afraid to eat it. It seemed so strong, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, am I going to get hit by Shakti if I eat this? What's
right.
going to happen to me? but I did eventually eat it and then decide, hey, you know what, I could make rose honey too. I've got roses, all I got to do is put the rose petals in a jar and pour good quality honey over it and wait for a little while and there's my rose honey. Yum, yum, yum. In India, they did a study with young women, women who were just coming into their menses. And I think they had was like the last three grades of high school that they chose the girls from. And they gave half of the girls a cup of black tea. And the other half of the girls got a cup of rose petal tea. And as I said, you can make that just by making the rose honey and then putting a spoonful of the rose petals on the honey in a cup of water, or you can just dry some rose petals and pour some boiling water over them and make rose petal tea that way, or you can even buy dried rose petals. And they did this for, I think, several months, and what they found at the end of the study was that the young women who had gotten the rose petal tea were far more likely than the young women who had gotten the black tea to report, they were far less likely to report menstrual pain, premenstrual problems, anxiety.
Mm.
Yeah, so altogether the rose petals seemed to improve mood. Not that any of these young women were depressed, so we're not talking about it as a cure for that. But, I mean, I kind of remember those last 3 years of high school, and I think the reason I kind of remember them is that they were awful.
Right. For most people,
right?
They are.
Yeah, for most people, they're just the worst 3 years of your life. And you think, oh, wow, you know, rose petal tea could help? Wow. I wish my mom had said, here, you know, stop being so obsessed. Just drink some rose petal tea. Or that, you know, when we were talking about that rose petal milk, ooh, wouldn't that be a nice thing to have? Oh, if you're a teenager and you're so upset for whatever reason, right, the right person hasn't invited you to the prom, or, you know, you spilled something on your prom dress, or you can't get the right, you know, the tie to tie for your tuxedo, whatever is going on, just, would you like a little rose petal milk, my dear? And just bring it in and set it down and leave the room. So hooray for roses. Now, many people, if pushed to talk about roses as a medicine, would probably come up with rose hips. many, many people know about rose hips. I'm surprised to find that a great number of people who know about rose hips really don't know that they are rose fruit. So after that rose blooms, like any other flower, basically a device to get pollinators to come and to help the flowers have sex so that they can create seeds. And like many plants, rose finds it advantageous to wrap its seeds in something tasty. This is behavior that is especially true of perennial plants, plants that live on for more than a few years. These plants, like the rose, just don't find it worth their while to drop all of their seeds on the ground right under them. Because let's face it, those little babies are not going to get a chance. So what roses do is to wrap their seeds up in something tasty called a rose hip, which birds and other animals come and eat and then carry away and, of course, excrete the seeds in a ready lump of fertilizer. Ha! More roses everywhere. Thank you very much. Now, the little wild roses, the multiflora roses of my area, do make rose hips, but they're really small rose hips. And I tried doing a bunch of things with those rose hips. I tried, like, cutting them open and scooping the seeds out, but there was, like, it was, like, 99% seeds and hair and, like, 1% rose hip flesh. I mean, these are really little rose hips and stuff. I'm not going to do that. And then I tried to make a rose hip vinegar with them. And I filled up a jar with these little hard rose hips, tender as a cherry pit. I mean, they are hard little rose hips. So I filled up a jar with them, and then I put apple cider vinegar over it, and then I waited 6 weeks, and at the end of 6 weeks, I had a jar with rose hips and apple cider vinegar, and they were not speaking to each other at all.
Mm.
And that was okay. And I said, these rose hips, Susan, these are for the birds, and I mean that in the kindest possible way. They're for the birds. They're held up above the snow. The birds can come and get them in the winter, but they're not for humans. And as though she had read my mind, a friend of mine came to visit with a big bag full of rugosa rose hips, or Rosa rugosa, also known as the beach rose. And Rosa rugosa is a beautiful rose. It's a simple rose. It's not a rose with lots of petals like many of the cultivated roses. And it's usually in beautiful shades of deep pink. And often grows on beaches and tolerates salt wind and a little water pretty well. And it makes big, big, big rose hips. The rose hips it makes are bigger than many crab apples that I've seen. And it's not an idle comparison. Roses are the leading member of the rose family. So I said that the wild rose here is Rosa multiflora, and then there's Rosa canina, the dog rose, as well as a host of other roses, and they are Rosa. And the Rosaceae family includes most of the fruit that we eat. Also in the rose family are apples, pears, peaches, cherries, nectarines, strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, the odd, rather old-fashioned fruit, quince, and almonds are also in the rose family, a huge family just filled with wonderful edible things. And we all remember the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, even more true of rose hips, because rose hips, as everyone knows, are a phenomenal source of vitamin C.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, rose hips are one of the world's leading sources of vitamin C. So here's my friend with this big bag of Rosa rugosa rose hips, the big ones. And so we started all over again. We cut them in half, and we scooped out the seeds and the white hairs. And, you know, I must admit that these were also about 98% seeds and hairs and only about 2% outer part of the rose hip, which is the only part you could really eat. But it was okay because they're so big that 2% constituted a lot more than the tiny little bit that I got from the little rose hips of my area. These Rugosa rose hips were probably wild where she picked them from, although they are frequently planted. And we then took that flesh of the rose hip, minus the seeds, minus the hairs, and we cooked it together with some honey and made a rose hip conserve. Problem at all, spreading rose hip honey on my toast. Why? I was so kind of like woo about the rose petal honey. I'm not sure. Because rose hip honey has long been a favorite of mine, and this was the first time I was able to make it. I've always had to depend on the kindness of others who live by where the rose hips are. It's one of the reasons I was experimenting with my rose hips, seeing if I could make this delicious treat that I so much like. So rose hips are a fantastic source of vitamin C, and they maintain that vitamin C activity when they're dried. So you can buy dried rose hips, and they're still loaded with vitamin C. And, of course, the rose hip honey, cooked together, the rose hips and the honey, is a great way to conserve that vitamin C. And we made rose hip vinegar with some of those rose hips. And I have to say, that was possibly even my favorite way to eat those rose hips. The vinegar turned this kind of great garnet red, deep, glowing, gem-like color. And just looking at the rose hip vinegar was enough to make you think, oh my goodness. And the taste of it was really exquisite, fruity, and a little bit sour, just fabulous. And the rose hips themselves went into the jar raw, and then the vinegar, room temperature vinegar, was poured over it. But after the vinegar and the rose hips had sat together for 6 weeks, unlike the wild rose hips of my area, these two were not just talking to each other, they had their clothes off. The rose hips had gotten all kind of soft and squishy, and those bothersome little hairs really were not bothersome at all anymore. The seeds were still too hard to eat, but you cut the rose hips up out of the vinegar and chew on the outside of them. Or what I did once there was virtually no vinegar left in the jar was I took a potato masher and I mashed the rose hips down into a bit of a pulp. And then I poured hot water over that and then passed it through a strainer so that I wouldn't be drinking any of those little hairs. And again, that was just a remarkable beverage. What a lot of things there are to do with roses. An herbal buddy of mine named Rena Neeson runs a clinic in Geneva called the Dog Rose Clinic. The Rosa Canina Clinic. And her herbal practice focuses on and specializes in women. And that's why she has named her clinic the Dog Rose Clinic. She thinks that there is no herb that is as exquisite for helping women's hormonal disturbances as rose. And she makes a very interesting preparation, something that you won't be able to just go out and buy. If this is appealing or intriguing to you, you'll need to remember it, and you'll need to next year make a glyceride of either the rose buds, that's the rose flower buds, or the rose leaf buds, and you get those pretty early on in the year. So glycerin is for sale at drugstores, and you get some glycerin, and you dilute it with water. So you want to use one part glycerin and either two parts water or three parts water. Either one will work. So if you have like a quarter of a cup of glycerin, then you could use between a half and three quarters of a cup of water. Mix it together and then pour that over the leaf buds that you have picked or the flower buds that you have picked. Again, let that macerate. Let those sit together for 6 weeks. And then I probably don't have to go through all the kind of hormonal disturbance things, but just as a kind of reminder, roses, we're already establishing, help to prevent premenstrual syndrome. Roses help to prevent and to alleviate menstrual cramping. Roses, and especially this rose glyceride, can be very useful to help women in a quest for fertility and getting pregnant. A variety of more difficult things has also responded to using her rose glyceride. And, of course, rose glyceride at menopause can be a wonderful, wonderful help. Also have a recipe for rose petal wine.
Oh.
And the easy way to do this is to get my green book, Healing Wise, and there's a recipe in it for dandelion wine, and just substitute rose petals for dandelion flowers and just continue on with the recipe, just as though you were making dandelion wine, but instead make rose petal wine. My mentored students, and I have a special website where extra things are put for mentored students. My mentored students just got a copy of my rose petal wine recipe, step by step, so that they can follow it through and make their own rose petal wine. And I think I've been talking to you about the fact that I've started a new online course that I'm teaching at the Wise Woman University called Have a Healthy Heart, The Wise Woman Way.
Yes.
And it's divided into three units. The first group of students has completed Unit 1. Congratulations to everybody. And I have gone on into Unit 2. But they're standalone units. So we have some new people joining us, people that didn't do Unit 1. That's absolutely fine. And we are looking at roses in terms of heart health. And so there's a monograph on roses as part of the course. And that rose petal wine recipe is repeated for those students as well. Oh, roses, roses, roses and roses have taken us once again to the end of the show. I was looking in a book written in 1899, and it says, roses are tonic and mildly astringent. They are used in passive hemorrhage, excessive mucus discharge, bowel complaints, and ophthalmic diseases. How interesting that roses are used to help the eyes. That's from over 100 years ago. So, once again, we must say good night, and thanks to all of you listeners. If you want more of the stuff that you're getting here at Green Magic, Green Blessings, come and visit me at SusanWeed.com, and I spell it keeping the sun in Susan, but we bought SusanWeed and Susan Weed, so however you spell it, even if you misspell it, you'll get to the right website. And then that mentorship program that I was talking about, that's wisewomanmentor.com. And you can go there and you can, there's a free e-zine that comes out, and no charge ever for that. And it just keeps you kind of up to date on what I'm doing and thinking, and it's got a book nook and shaman's corner and the herbal vet and the herbal mom and a lot of fun things in my little e-zine. And then please do visit the Wise Woman Bookshop. That's where you'll find Wise Woman Herbal for the childbearing year. Breast cancer? Breast health? The Wise Woman Way. Down there, sexual and reproductive health, the Wise Woman Way, my big green book, Healing Wise, and new menopausal years, the Wise Woman Way. Those are all at the Wise Woman Book Shop. Wow! So many fun ways for us to get together. And I'll be right back here with you next week with Green Magic, Green Medicine. Thank you so much, Daniel.
All right. Thank you again, Susan. Great to have you again. And I definitely look forward to it. I learn something every week.
All righty. Green blessings. Good night, everybody.
Green blessings.
You are listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we in the morning. Blessed are we in the light of the day as we enjoy the earth turning. Blessed are we as the twilight descends and the magic of dusk is upon us. And blessed are we in the dark of the night as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed are we in the...
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.